Some of you may know that I like golf. I'm thankful for the tickets to the U.S. Open that the parish gave me for my 15th anniversary here at St. Paul's. Looking forward to that. But golf has been something I've always done since I was a little kid. Some people are in different kinds of sports, soccer, basketball, but golf has always been something I've been interested in. Haven't played in a couple of years, to be honest with you. I'm presently getting some lessons to try to improve my game. And all kinds of things. But I like golf. And I like to watch golf, too, on TV. You know, not always for hours and hours, but if there's some free time, just sit down. And sometimes it's background noise. It can almost calm you down. It's very calm as they talk about golf. The professional golfers tour kind of travels around the country all year. Every week there's a golf tournament. The PGA Tour begins in January in Hawaii, and then they come into Southern California, they go across Arizona, eventually they get to Florida, where they are this week. They're outside of Miami this week. Eventually they start working up the coast, get close to the Masters, and then begin to kind of go to Texas, Northeast, the Midwest. They kind of follow the weather, the warmer weather, the PGA Tour. They recently finished what's referred to as the Desert Swing. The Desert Swing. There were golf tournaments around Palm Springs and through Arizona, a couple tournaments in Arizona. And when you think of a golf course, oftentimes you think of a very green, lush, very finely mowed lawn. You have these images of a lot of green. Augusta, to me, is one of the most incredible places that does that. But these desert courses are different. They're in the desert, not a place you'd think of a golf course being. If you were to take an aerial view looking down, what you find is just desert and these kind of patches of green. There's this patch of green where the tee is, a patch of green where the fairway is, a patch of green where the green is. And, you know, the golf is, you hit from one to the other. A few years ago, in my former parish, a couple was getting married, and the wedding was in Cabo San Lucas, which is in the Baja Peninsula, the end of the tip of the Baja Peninsula, and invited me to officiate, which was a tough gig. Mary and I went together, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. One of the things we did was we got to golf on one of those desert-type courses, and not one of my strengths on a desert course. Professional golfers, you watch them on TV, they're aiming for an area around this big. I'm aiming for an area about as big as this room. And, you know, a lot of times my ball wouldn't go on the green that was there. It would go into the desert, into the sand. And I remember saying to people, I'm not going in there. It's snakes, and I'm not going in there. I'll just drop another ball. The score didn't matter. I'm just going to... The course is a very, very unique. It seems like a strange place for a golf course to be in the desert. I was thinking about this... This kind of came to me this past week as I read over this gospel reading of Jesus in the desert. And the desert's not a place we're necessarily drawn to. Unless maybe we can bring something with us. So, you know, there's lots of resorts in these desert areas. Bring things there. We're comfortable being in the desert if we can bring something along with us to soften the desert. It's not common to say, I'm just going to go into the desert. It's a scary place to be. And I'm wondering, as I was thinking this past week, that idea of our fear of the desert, not just the physical desert, but the deeper meaning of the desert, those parts of our lives that are the desert, how difficult it is sometimes to go there. We'll go there if we can bring something along with us of the rest of our life, but it's a very scary thing to encounter the desert. And yet I think in many ways what we see in Jesus' ministry is, before he even began his ministry, he went to the desert. And you wonder what the meaning of that could be. I think the desert is a place that calls us to go deep. You've heard us using that phrase. The phrase that Bishop Curry has invited us to consider as a diocese during this time of go deep, go speak, go do. Go deep, go speak,
go do.
And if you look at this gospel reading, Jesus was baptized by John, and then it says in Matthew's gospel, he then goes to the desert to go deep. And when you think about it, he goes deep before he even considers going to speak or going to do, to encounter something of himself. In the spiritual language, we use the phrase encounter his true self and step away from his false self. I want to share with you a quote. I don't usually read other people's quotes and homilies, but as I was preparing this past week, I couldn't say this any better. Thomas Keating is a Trappist monk who's very much a part of the early founders of what's known today as centering prayer. You've heard of centering prayer. Thomas Keating was a big part of that back in the 70s, actually, and it's still something that's practiced today. And this is a quote of Thomas Keating on the spiritual journey. And he says this: "The spiritual journey is not a career or a success story. The spiritual journey is a series of humiliations of the false self that become more and more and more profound. The spiritual journey is a series of humiliations of the false self that become more and more and more profound." Do you want to go on that kind of a journey?
I don't know.
You know, if that's what the spiritual journey is, well, good luck with that. You know, away from the pier. But that's what Thomas Keating is saying, is this journey we talk about is one of encountering this true self and letting go of the false self. Going into the desert without bringing the golf course with us. Without bringing those things into our lives that we sometimes bring to soften it a bit. Nothing wrong with golf courses in the desert. Nothing wrong with resorts in the desert. But you get my image, what I'm talking about. The idea that we're comfortable with that. But in our own lives, are we willing to go deep into this desert? Ruth Haley Barton is a spiritual writer who I don't know that well, but I encountered her recently, and she writes this on this quote of Thomas Keating. So this is a little lengthy, but let me try to read this deliberately, because I think it can say something to us. This is about Thomas Keating's statement that the journey is one of humiliation, this giving up this false self to discover this true self. She writes, "I agree with this statement. I don't like it, but I know it's true. And it makes me wonder if any of us are ready for the journey of transformation, really. We long for more in our spiritual lives, that's for sure. But I'm not sure we're ready for the harrowing journey of death to the false self that any true spiritual journey entails. We want God as long as we can still have our successes. We like the idea of being on a journey of faith as long as it doesn't require too much, well, faith. We long for the promised land as long as we don't have to leave anything behind. We want space for God as long as it doesn't intrude too radically on our packed schedules and conflicting priorities. We want self-knowledge as long as it doesn't cut too close to the ego. We want God's will as long as it doesn't make us look too foolish. We want love as long as it's not too inconvenient. We like to buy the pearl of great price as long as we don't have to sell everything we have. We're willing to wax eloquent about the Paschal mystery one weekend a year as long as we're not the one doing the dying. What are we to do with the fact that the true spiritual journey must and always will involve very real humiliations of that false self? We who believe that bigger is better and more is, well, more.
We have learned to measure everything by numbers and new innovations, bigger buildings and church growth plans, slick marketing campaigns, and taking everything to scale. How do we, who don't even know the difference between the true self and the false self, and who have in some cases gotten quite proficient at harnessing the things of God to our false self programs, learn to surrender. Learn to surrender to the humiliations of the false self so that something truer can emerge. A lot of words. Hope that hears something in that. This Lent, I invite us to go deep. I mentioned in my newsletter article that, you know, Jesus came to call disciples. Jesus didn't come to call members. Jesus didn't say, come, follow me, become a member. He said, come, follow me. Discipleship. It's about going deep. And then, how we speak and what we do speaks of that true self. In this parish, not only as individuals do I invite you to that going deep, to that spiritual journey, but as a parish community, so that our programs, what we do, what we speak, may come from a place of transformation. We're not just some local social group, another place to find fellowship. We're about something. Nothing short of changing the world. And that starts with changing our lives. And when we go deep like that, then when we speak and when we do the incredible things we do here at St. Paul's, and invites us to a transformation of life. To let go of that false self to discover this true self. That's the model on this first Sunday of Lent. It's what Jesus did. He went into the desert and let go of many things. The temptation story is about his letting go of power, of influence, of so many things that are in our lives all the time, letting go of that so he could go forth to go speak and go do. And we gather here today to do the same. So I invite you to a holy Lent, to go deep this Lent, and to encounter that true self, and together support each other as we go through those humiliations. Sometimes we don't have to go to the desert. Oftentimes the desert comes to us. And some of you may find yourself in the desert right now. Some of you may have been there before and can bring wisdom to those who are in the desert. But all in all, at some point in our life, we face that desert experience. And it's a call and a challenge to a depth of going deep. So this Lent, go deep. So that on Easter Day, we can truly know from our experience the wonder of this life that Jesus calls us to. So that from that place, we can continue to go speak and go do the wondrous things God calls us to as individuals and as an incredible faith community here at St. Paul's.